All right. Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1. If you have a place, you want to stand in honor reading God's Word. I want to look at verse number 1. And the Bible says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Verse number 14. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. I want to preach just a minute this evening, if God will be my help, on this thought, debtors unto the Lord. Debtors unto the Lord. Paul, the Bible said, was a servant of Jesus Christ. Amen? He was a servant, not because he had to be, because he wanted to be. Why? Because he was called to be an apostle. Amen? That's a representative of Christ. He was separated unto the gospel of God. So we see Paul here as a unique individual. But Paul was no different from you and I. Paul was an individual that was trying to do something for the Lord. Paul started out in the wrong direction. He was brought up in the school of Gamaliel. He was trained to be a Pharisee. He was studied in the book and the law to know God and know who he was and what he expected and what he required. But Paul misinterpreted and he went in the wrong direction. He went too far and went beyond that God would have him to have and to instruct him, even to the point that he would begin to persecute those who had turned to Lord Jesus Christ and had accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. But Paul, in his when he realized that he was he became a servant of the Lord, and he was called to be an apostle, and he separated himself unto that work and unto the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ. Paul began to be one of the greatest servants of God that ever lived. Amen. He began to serve God. He began to magnify God. He began to preach the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ everywhere he went. They would never been a man like Saul of Tarsus, who was Paul. Praise God, who got saved by the marvelous grace of God on the road to Damascus. Praise God, and he began to preach the Lord Jesus Christ and him lifted up. Amen. So we see Paul here as he said, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So Paul says that he is a debtor. I want to say, praise God, if Paul was a debtor, amen, I wonder where we stand. Are we not debtors as well to the Lord Jesus Christ for all that He's done for us, for all the magnificent things that He's done in our lives? We've been freed like Paul has from the debt of sin. Amen. That price of sin was paid by the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary so that we've been made free. Paul was saying here that he was a debtor, that he was in debt to somebody. And that debt needed to be paid to Lord Jesus Christ. And how would he do that? Praise God, a debtor. He needed to be a witness. Praise God. He was a witness to Christ, a witness to the lost. He said he was a debtor to the Greeks and to the barbarians, the Gentiles. He said he was both to the wise and to the unwise. He was saying, I am a debtor, praise God, unto those that know the truth but won't do it, and those that don't know the truth and don't know how to do it. But Paul said, praise God, I'm a debtor to Jesus. I'm a debtor to my Lord. I'm a debtor to my Savior. And I'm a debtor to the people, praise God, that Jesus Christ would like to see saved. Amen. I want to say today, youngins, we are debtors to Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You and I are debtors to Christ that to see souls saved. It ought to be a burden in our hearts to see souls come to Lord Jesus Christ. It ought to be a burden in our hearts to ask God to help us, amen, individually, to have a burden in our heart. I wonder today, church, listen to me. Do we really have a burden for lost souls? Do we even have any inkling of a burden to see folks saved, to see them gathered into the family of God, to see them get ready, praise God, so when Jesus calls us out of here, they'll be ready to go. What a terrible travesty if they're left behind to suffer through this world. It'd be bad enough if it was like it is now, but it's going to be far worse when we're taken out. Amen. We're a debtor to the Lord. Amen. Because He saved us by His marvelous grace. Amen. Because He called us out of our sin and called us unto Himself. And we are to have the same burden in our hearts to do that Jesus has done for us. Amen. They are debtors, praise God, to witness to the lost. That's what Paul was saying. That's what his burden was. So we are debtors. You and I are debtors to the lost. Amen. Debtors unto the Lord to the lost. Amen. And what I want to do now, I want to go through here. I want to march through here and just look how we are debtors. And I hope we realize that we are. That we are indebted to the Lord Jesus Christ for a debt that He paid for us. Amen. We ought to have enough love and compassion because He had love and compassion for us to get in, praise God, on this ground floor and begin to be, praise God, a debtor to the lost. Amen. Paul said he's a debtor to the Lord. He said we are a debtor to be obedient to the Holy Spirit of God. As the Holy Spirit of God begins to move on our hearts, and He does that, praise God, on purpose, because that's who He is. He begins to minister to us and through us. And we see in Romans chapter 8 as we march through here, praise God, as debtors unto Christ. We can see Paul as he's marching forward, never looking back, talking to the people of Rome. He said, hey, listen, I'm a debtor to the cause of Christ. And while they're in bondage and when they're swapping the guard, he said, listen, I'm a debtor to the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, Paul, if you just kept your mouth shut, son, you wouldn't have had to be in here. Paul said, oh, yes, sir, I would have had to be in here because I'm a debtor to my Lord and Savior. Praise God, I'm paying a price because of what He did for my soul. Amen. Praise His holy name. But we're a debtor to the Lord Jesus Christ to obey the Spirit of God. In Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 11, He said, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now watch this. He said, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. He said, we're a debtor, praise God. He said, if we've had the Spirit in us, if God has graced us enough, and God has blessed us enough, and God has called us out, and He's filled us with His Spirit, and the Holy Ghost of God has moved into us, praise God, I'm glad that He does. I'm glad that's how God takes possession of us. Praise His holy name. I've told you before, I don't understand all that. It's bigger than my little old mind will comprehend, but God Almighty loved us, me enough that when He saved me by His marvelous grace, He sent His Spirit, I'm talking about the third person of the Trinity, the Spirit of an Almighty God, sent it to take up its abode in the depths of my soul. Amen. If you're saved today, He's living in you.
Amen.
Amen. He'll live large if we'll let Him. He'll be in charge if we'll let Him. Amen. He'll begin to direct us if we'll let Him. He said, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead shall dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body. He said, there's a quickening, He's making alive. I'm a wonder today if there ain't a whole lot of so-called Christians that's never been born again, praise God, they've never been made alive in Christ Jesus. It's your mortal body by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. He said, but therefore, brethren, we are debtors. Who are we debtors to? He said, we're not debtors to the flesh. The flesh didn't do anything for us to live after the flesh. Amen. Hey, I don't owe this old flesh nothing. You don't owe your flesh, your body, nothing. Amen. God said, I'll take care of that if you'll let me. Praise God. But He says, if you live after the flesh, you die. Amen. Praise God. He's talking about that eternal death. To die and just keep on dying in the regions of the damned. But He said, if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, He said, you shall live. Amen. Praise God. We put to death the deeds of the body, the filth of the flesh, and the Spirit of God has His right of way. He said, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Amen? So he said, a debtor, praise God, to the Lord is one who is obedient to the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God speaks to us, but we got to listen. Amen? Now, the Holy Spirit speaks to us through His Word. We're begotten. The Bible says we're begotten by the Word of God. So the Holy Spirit of God speaks to us through the Word of God. Amen? And said when the Word of God speaks to us to that inner man, and that inner man is directed, praise God, unto Godward. Amen? The Godward direction. And we begin to see the power of God manifest in our lives. As many as are led by the Spirit. Spirit of God. Let me just say something. There's a whole lot of spirits out there. Amen? As a fellow told me a while back, just crazy, crazy stuff. He said, I know it's right because the Spirit's leading me. And I just sat there for a minute, contemplating what he was telling me. And it was way out there. And he said, well, what do you think about that? I said, I believe you're right. He said, you think so? I said, yeah. I said, I believe you're right. I said, there's a spirit that's leading you. But it's a spirit of the Antichrist. Amen? He was saying that you can be saved and you can get to heaven and you can get do everything God wants you to do without the shedding of the blood of Lord Jesus Christ, that the shedding of the blood didn't matter. That ain't crippled too high for crutches. Amen. But I said, it's a spirit. You're right. But it's the spirit of Antichrist. That says that Jesus Christ didn't die and His blood wasn't shed on Calvary. Amen. The Bible says to try the spirits to see if they ever come God. There's a whole lot of people trying the spirits tonight. They're getting it in a bottle of Jack Daniels and a bottle of Old Milwaukee. Amen. They tried all kinds of spirits. But praise God, the Spirit of God, if we're led by the Spirit of God. Holy Ghost didn't say just if you're led by a spirit, but He said you're led by the Spirit of God. Amen. Capital G God. He said if you're led by the Spirit of God, He said then ye are sons of God. Praise the Lord. So He said if we're debtors to the Lord, praise God, then we realize that we've got to be obedient to the Spirit of God. We have to be led by the Spirit. Amen. That means we've got to have a little bit of spiritual discernment. Amen. We got to check ourselves every now and then with the Word of God. See if we're going in His direction. There's a lot of people say, well, you know what? I think I'm going in the right direction. Well, it may be a right direction to the world, but it's the right direction according to what God says. Amen. So you can interpret things a whole lot of different ways. But praise God, we got to remember that we as a debtors, praise God, unto the Lord, we got to be found pleasing to Him. Paul said, praise God, I am a servant, I'm a debtor unto Christ. Amen. So if we're a debtor, praise the Lord, we're free from the debt of sin, paid for by Lord Jesus Christ. But we're debtors, praise God, to be a witness for Lord Jesus Christ. We're a debtor to be obedient to the Spirit of God. And if we're a debtor, praise God, to be a witness to the lost, we're a debtor to be obedient to the Spirit of God, then we're also a debtor to love God's people. Amen? You say, Pastor, who are God's people? Everybody in the universe. Amen? The whole world is full of God's people. God loves us all. There's not a man, woman, boy, and girl that God don't love as much as He does me and you. There's folks in the slums, there's folks in the villages, there's folks in the jungles, praise God. Listen, God don't love me and you a bit more than He does them. Amen? Amen. Amen. We may not like some of their ways, praise God, but we got to love them in the Lord. And the Lord loves them. If the Holy Ghost God ever gets a hold of them, the love of God gets in them, praise God, they'll love us too. They may not now, but they will then. But He said we are to love all people. For God's glory. Amen. He said in Romans chapter 13, Paul continues his march through the book of Romans, through Rome. Chapter 13, verse number 8. He said, owe no man anything. I guess that means you kind of ought to pay your bills, pay things off, not be in debt. He said, but to love one another. He said, that's what we owe. Amen. Praise God. He said, we owe a debt of love to one another. Are you hearing me tonight? You say, preacher, why would I have a debt of love to some stranger, people maybe I don't even know? Because Jesus loved us. Jesus died for us because of that love. And so we ought to have a love to others. But he said, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Praise God. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying. Namely, watch this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Amen. We ought to love our neighbors as much as we love ourselves. I've never seen anybody that don't like their self. Amen. But look what he says, verse number 10. He said, but love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Amen. Put it in the hands of the Lord, praise God, and asking God to help you. Becoming a debtor to the Lord, praise the Lord. We become a witness to Christ. We begin to walk in the Spirit and we begin to love people like we never loved them before. Now, no, we don't have to like sin. I hate sin because God does. As a fellow told me the other day, he said, well, preacher, you mean you hate that person because of such and such? I don't hate that person. I love that person. I hate the sin he's doing. Amen. He said, well, you aren't to hate. I said, God does. Amen. God says it's wicked and vile, and so if God says that, praise God, then it is. In the eyes of a righteous God, it's wrong. Amen. But he said we are to love the people, to fulfill the law, to come out clean, praise God. He said we need to love one another. He said we need to love our neighbor. We need to love each other as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Amen. So that God can get glory out of our lives. Bless His name. So we ought to obey the Spirit. If we obey the Spirit, then we can learn to love each other and love our neighbors. Now, you may have neighbors that's horrible. Amen. I know Kevin does. Right across the hill from him is Ralph. Amen. Down beside him is Malachi. But no, we got to love each other. We got to love our neighbor, praise God, because Christ loved us and gave himself for us. And we're debtors to the Lord. And if we're debtors to the Lord, praise God, we're debtors to be a witness, we're debtors to follow the Spirit of God, and we're debtors to love each other. Amen. If we do those things, praise God, then we'll begin to help those others that need more help than some. Look at chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. In verse number 1, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. What is Paul saying here to the Romans? He said, we then that are strong, he says strong spiritually, have a strong faith, a strong attitude toward Christ. A strong energy is being a debtor to the Lord. He said, if we have a strong faith in Christ, then we ought to be debtors, ought to bear the infirmities. Now, those infirmities are a lack of strength in those, praise God, those others, the weak, those that are weak. There's always weak people around us. Amen. Let me just slow down here. Let me just say this tonight. There's always weak people around us. There's always somebody around us, whether it be down at the schoolhouse or down at your house or down at my house, there's always somebody around us that's weak. They certain things that tempt them, certain things that's apt to draw them away from God. Amen. And we that are filled with Spirit, we that love each other and love, but love people, praise God, but like Christ did, we are to be looking for opportunities to help those that are weak. Amen. He says, well, those of us that are strong in our faith, that believe and have put our faith in Lord Jesus Christ, we ought to be coming alongside and encouraging the weak. Those weak brothers and sisters in the Lord. Encourage them and lifting them up. Those that are weak in strength. Not to please ourselves, not do it to please ourselves, but to do it to please God. To lift these folks up to Him, that they might be encouraged. He said, let every one of us please his neighbor, for he is good to edification. Amen. He said, we ought to be looking at our neighbor, and we ought to be pleasing our neighbor, encouraging our neighbor, edifying and lifting up our neighbor. You know, Sam, you know what? You got this. You can beat this. You're better than this. Amen. Praise God. Hey, listen, you've got the Lord Jesus Christ. You profess to be a saved person. You profess to be a Christian. And just allow Christ to work in you, praise God, so you can shout the glory. Amen. You realize sometimes all it takes is just a little bit of encouragement from us to get somebody out of the mully grubs. To help them, praise God. Those that are weak, those that are tempted to fall or tempted to go back or tempted to just stay stagnant where they're at. And somebody like me and you comes alongside, praise God, and just encourages them just a little. Those that are weaker in their faith, those that are infirmities, lack of strength. Encourage them, edify them. You say, preacher, why'd you do that? Paul tells us why in verse number 3. Romans chapter 15, verse number 3, he says this. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. Amen. Praise God. He said, Jesus Christ took the reproach of the whole world upon himself. Reproaches that was meant for us. Jesus said, I took those reproaches. Amen. The debt was paid. He became sin for us. But if we ain't careful, we're living in a world and a society. We're so easy, and we're being taught now to give up easy. Amen? I hate to say they're teaching our kids to be quitters. You don't have to strive to be better. All you got to do is you don't have to try to put forth an effort to be better. You don't have to try to put an effort to win. When it's all said and done at the end of the day, if you just want to go over and say, no, bitch, we're going to give you all a little trophy. It ain't supposed to be that way. Amen? We do it, and I know we do it to encourage these little people, and I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with that. But when we get people, youngins that's older, and we start telling them, you know, what, they no use for you, try you. You just give up if you don't feel like putting out any effort, and it'll be okay. And you know what, God, we got people coming up, and they get used to, you might say they get programmed to give up. Amen? We got people in the world today that's being programmed to give up. You just go ahead and give up. Just go ahead and give in, and somebody will take care of you. They said the other day that the number of 40-something that's living home in the basement of mom and daddy's is astronomical. Where'd that come from? It's from mom and daddy coming alongside them, amen, saying, no, you know, if you don't want to do it, if you don't want to put forth the effort, that's okay, we'll just take care of you. That's all right, but that ain't the way God intended it to be. Amen, you said, preacher, you done quit preaching and went to meddling. Amen. It ain't the way it's supposed to be. Because what's going to happen when mama and daddy pass on out of here? They get to where they're not able to get out and make it for Junior no more. For Susie no more. How are they going to make it? They can't. We got to come alongside them, encourage them now, say, praise God, take yourself, praise, put yourself out there. Amen. Let God use you for His glory. Praise God, be somebody. Amen. Put forth the effort, praise God. Figure out what you want to do. Figure out what you want to be and ask God to help you and then go for it. Praise the Lord. Encouraging those weaker. Amen. Not to give up. not to give in, but to keep marching on for God's glory. Praise His holy name. So we see the debtors. We're debtors to the Lord to be a witness. Amen. We're debtors to the Lord to obey the Spirit, to love people, to encourage the weak, those in infirmities, lack of strength and weakness. But then the Bible teaches us a big lesson. He said that we're supposed to be a help to the people of Israel. Amen. God said, He said, I'll bless those that'll bless Israel. And He said, I'll curse those that curse Israel. God says if we have a debt to the Lord, if we want to pay our debt to the Lord, praise God, then we got to pray and lift up the nation of Israel. Look what Paul says in chapter 15, verse 25. Chapter 15, verse 25, he says, but now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. For it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. And it hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. Now watch this. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. Did you get that? Do you understand what that's saying? Paul said, hey, listen, said there's been an offering taken up in Macedonia and Achaia, praise God, for the poor saints that are at Jerusalem, because God said you're supposed to bless the nation of Israel, and if you'll bless the nation of Israel, God will bless you. I don't know about you, I like blessings. Amen. I try to give to the nation of Israel. Me and Teresa, she's got a thing she gives them so often, And I try to make through Chosen People Ministries, try to minister to them as they passing out the gospel. They're winning souls for Christ. There's an amazing thing happening right now in the nation of Israel. As thousands and thousands of Jews are returning back to the nation of Israel, Chosen People Ministries is going in there and they're, they're putting in different spots across Jerusalem. They're putting people in those spots to encourage and to lift up, to edify those people that's coming in. And those people that's coming in so grateful, they're willing to listen and they're sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with them. And thousands upon thousands of young Jewish people are being saved by the marvelous grace of God. Amen. Amen. Don't you know that rings the prayer bells of glory? Amen. Praise God. But he said, it hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, the Bible says we were grafted in, amen, into the things of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. We were grafted in. We didn't, and don't believe this junk where they said at that replacement theory where we took the place of Israel. We have not taken, the church has not taken the place of Israel. I mean, people that believe that's crippled too high for crutches, they don't believe the Bible. They changed the Bible. Because the Bible says that Isaac, that the servant, which is the type of the Holy Spirit, Sarah had died, praise God. Isaac was sad. Abraham said, listen to his servant, which is the type of the Spirit of God. He said, go out and said, go down and get me a Gentile bride. Don't get one from around here. He said, go down and get me a Gentile bride for Isaac. He said, well, what if she won't come back? He said, well, go down there. He said, praise God, if you go down there and if she'll come with you, praise God, we'll accept her. He'll have a bride and we'll just give God the glory. Amen. So the servant goes down there and he finds Rebecca and he prays to God. He said, hey, listen, whatever the first one that comes to the well this evening, let her be the one. And if she's the one, praise God, you know the story. He said, she'll let down her pitcher, she'll give me a drink and she'll water the camels. So he had no more got the prayer out of his mouth until this young maiden, beautiful young maiden, comes down there with her pitcher. And she goes to drink water. And he said, give me a drink. So she did. And then she watered his camels also. She went home with her. And then he took. Then she said, yes, and I'll go. And he goes back to Isaac. Amen. Isaac takes Rebekah, the wife. He goes into her in the tent. And the very first verse of the very next chapter, Genesis chapter 25, said Abraham took a wife, Keturah. Amen. So you see what takes place. Isaac receives a wife. It's type of Lord Jesus Christ. And when Jesus gets his wife, then God marries again. He takes Israel, praise God, which is really wife for. He takes a wife of the nation of Israel. And if you say that the church is the nation of Israel, praise God, a replacement there, then you mess up the Bible. Amen. You mess it up. From then on, it's null and void because it don't add up. Praise God. We're not to replace Israel. We're supposed to share the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ. What Israel was supposed to do, praise God, while they was here. Said if we want to be blessed, if we want to realize that we are debtors to the Lord, we realize God saved us by His marvelous grace. That we could go into lost and dying world and it would compel them to come in. Be a witness to the lost. That we'd be obedient to the Spirit of God. Praise God. That we'd love the people that God puts in front of us and around us. That we'd encourage, praise God, those that are weak. And that we would help the nation of Israel. You say, well, Pastor, I'm not a rich person. I can't, you know, send thousands and thousands of dollars to Israel. God don't expect us to. But I wonder what it costs just to spend a little knee time for that little nation. Amen. Teresa's got a link. She's got a friend in this from when we were over there, and they've maintained contact. All the time he's sending out things, you know, and for us to help him pray about. I mean, a lot of it's about their safety. Amen. And when she gets at her, ping her phone, she gets it automatically. Ain't that amazing? It's like what technology can do. Automatically from the nation of Israel, halfway around the world, she gets a ping on her phone and gets a prayer request. And she says, hey, he's wanting us to pray. Amen. We can all pray for the little nation of Israel. We can lift them up in our prayers and say, God, please help these people. Amen. Keep them safe. But most of all, send them the gospel and give them a discerning spirit. Give them a teachable spirit to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ so that we can continue to see more saved. We're debtors. We're debtors unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. But I wonder today, church, and I'll hush. I'll stop there. I'll hush. But let me ask a question. Think about this. Amen. Think about it. Are you paying your spiritual debt to the Lord? Your spiritual debt. How much are we paying? Bigger yet, how much do we owe? How much do we owe for all that Jesus has already done for us? He paid it all for us. How much do we owe? How much can we help Him? How much can we do for Him to pay that spiritual debt? Amen. Paul said he was a debtor to the Lord Jesus Christ. And as far as I know, there was nowhere that Paul ever quit paying that debt till the day that his head rolled off that gallows into the bucket. Amen. He was paying his debt to the Lord.